How many of you understand that this is not a sight journey that we're on? This is a journey of faith. We know this, that the Scriptures define for us faith. In Hebrews, it tells us that it's the substance of things hoped for and it's the evidence of things not seen. I love that my faith has substance even though I can't touch it. Even though I can't see it with my human eyes. How many of you who know Jesus Christ would say there's substance to my faith? There's real substance to my faith. And I tell this to people all the time when I share the gospel with them. They look at me like I'm crazy. But I tell them this. I tell them, if I could put what was inside of me inside of you for about 2 seconds, you wouldn't doubt the message that I'm preaching you. I know it doesn't make sense to you right now because at this point you're trying to figure it out with this and you're trying to see it with these. But the fact of the matter is that God gives us a gift called faith, and that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about faith because last week we talked about the gospel and the true gospel of grace. How many of you this week had a new understanding of the gospel? You saw yourself being legalistic and creating laws for yourself and said, wait a second, that's not grace. I don't need to heap condemnation upon myself because of these things that I've created in my mind that account for me somehow salvation or a good standing with God, or as people say in error, put a smile on God's face. Listen, if you tell your children that, stop, you're going to raise up a legalistic generation. Now do good things so God will smile, little Billy. If you're a preschool teacher, because I happen to know that there's a preschool in the area who uses this phrase, tell people to stop using it and teach them about grace. God smiles on little Billy not because of anything little Billy has ever done. God would only smile upon little Billy because of what Jesus Christ has done. So God smiles on Kirk Hall. I know it's hard for you to understand because you don't smile on Kirk Hall very much. Right? But God smiles on Kirk Hall, like we talked about last week, because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. It's funny that the charismatics are running around looking for favor. If someone would teach them about grace, they would understand that they already have favor. Favor is that unmerited grace that God gives us in Christ. You already have it. And guess what? It's dealt out in equal proportions. I don't care what spiritual gift you have, you don't have any more favor than the next guy. Grace is grace is grace. But I'm not here to talk to you again about grace, though I would love to because I think people still don't get it. I want to talk to you about the true gospel of faith because I want you to understand that grace and faith go hand in hand. You cannot access grace without faith. Would you agree? Because the Word of God tells us it is by grace you have been saved through faith. So what I want you to understand is this. Anything that allows you to experience God in your life comes only through the doorway, the portal of faith. Everybody understands? Go like this. You got that. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So it's always been a faith thing. It always will be a faith thing. We're going to see today in your life, it is going to be faith from the beginning till the end. It is a faith thing. Now, what I want you to understand is faith is not what the charismatic realm has made faith. The charismatic realm has turned a wish into faith. How many of you understand? Faith is not a wish. Because there is no substance to a wish. Is there? How many of you ever had that pickup truck that you wished for before you had it? No. That's a wish. Here's the thing. Where faith is different, guess what? I have faith in Jesus Christ that He's going to rescue me, and I have the substance of this. I already have Him in the heavenly realm. He already has me because He's already purchased me. It's the substance of the things I can't see that for whatever reason, and I know that reason, and we're going to talk about it, the faith that I have been given by God that has been entrusted to me allows me to then trust Him on everything that He says. So as we look at faith today in the book of Romans, you go ahead and turn it, Romans chapter 1. We're going to look at a few verses. We're going to talk about faith and how faith works in our lives. Hopefully clear up some things for you, because some of you think if I just wish a little harder, God might save me. Until God gives you the faith to believe, y'all pay attention to this, you cannot have access to grace. Because we talked about grace last week, and isn't grace amazing? In fact, they've been singing songs about it for years. And grace is so amazing that we can't figure it out, and we just have to just bathe in its greatness and praise God for how glorious grace is. But here's the thing. Some of you are trying to access grace and you've never been given true saving faith. We're going to talk about that today, and hopefully that's going to be cleared up in your life. And you're not going to just try to reach up out of the sky and grab something called a wish and wish that God would somehow give you grace. It doesn't work like that. How many of you understand this? This is a basic principle of Christianity that has been forgotten. Unless the Spirit draws you, you don't come to the Father. And if the Spirit draws you, the Spirit's definitely not going to draw you contrary to what the Word of God teaches, because God the Father and God the Spirit are definitely one. He's going to draw you in accordance with how men have always been drawn. He's going to give you, understand, it's a gift, just like grace is a gift. He's going to give you the faith, the trust, and the Jesus who you will follow. How many of you understand that? So don't wish for Jesus. We got a lot of people on their way to hell who Jesus is a nice wish. And really, they're not really wishing for Jesus at all. They're really just wishing for heaven because the alternative sounds pretty bad. I want you to see that it's far greater than just your human wish. So we read Romans chapter 1, verse 16, says this. Is everybody excited about learning the Word of God today? I'm excited about teaching the Word of God, so I hope you're excited about learning. Because this is going to hopefully help some of you where you are in your Christian walk, where you are in your life. I am not ashamed, Paul says, of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Paul said, I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because this is God's powerful thing. Not his. He said, I don't have a reason to be ashamed. I'm preaching a message that ain't mine to begin with. That's what I kind of laugh at when people get mad at me, because I preach the gospel. It's not my message. Don't get mad at me. I'm telling you what Jesus preached was repent or perish. And that's the end of the story. So if you get upset with me, you're really not upset with me. You're really upset with God, because it is his power, not mine. It's his message, not mine. He goes on, verse 17, for in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed. Thank you, Lord, because I could not be righteous on my own. He said a righteousness is revealed. A righteousness that is, underline this please in your Bible, a righteousness that is by faith. And I say that because we said faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How many of you believe that you are 100% righteous because of what Jesus Christ did? How many believe that? Raise your hand. Now here's the thing. If you look at your life, you can't say that. Can you? Because if you look at your life where we live right now, sometimes you don't look too righteous. But it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We know this. We have substance in Jesus Christ. How many of you would say Jesus carries some weight? So his righteousness that we access by the faith that we've been given has weight. So what we do is we look to Jesus Christ for our righteousness by faith. Don't ever forget that. Not by your works, not by your deeds, but by faith. Through his grace. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. What does he mean? And this is what we're going to talk about. What does he mean from first to last? Now, there's a lot of discrepancy in the interpretation of this actual passage. Some people believe this, and it's a great interpretation, and I lean toward this to some degree, because he mentions in the context, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. And he's saying, it's by faith for whoever believes, from the very first person to believe to the very last person to believe. I can go there. In the context, I can say, yeah, that'll preach, right? Because we could preach that. But I also believe this, it's not only the first to the last, because really what that translates when we see first to last, it translates beginning to the end. What I also believe, if we can take that interpretation, that it's from the first believer to the last believer, we can also take the interpretation from the same context, that it's from the first part of faith in your life, and faith then carries you through the whole process of being refined. And faith ultimately one day will be made sight because of the hope that we have in Christ. How many of you would say that'll preach too? So what we're going to do is we're going to look at faith today from this passage, and hopefully you're going to learn something. Hopefully it's going to change your life. I pray. I pray if you're here today and you've been wishing that somehow God would smile on you, stop wishing. And understand this, if the Holy Spirit of God comes to you today and gives you faith to abandon your life of sin and trust in Jesus Christ, that's a gift from God, and He's ushering you into saving faith here today. Respond to Him by throwing your arms up in surrender, denying yourself, accepting Him as your Lord and Savior. So let's look at faith in regard to Scripture and some things that we see and in regard to life. I want to break this down into four different things. Number one, we're going to break it down into simple faith. Number two, we're going to talk about saving faith. Number three, we're going to talk about sanctifying faith, that faith that keeps causing you to change. And then we're going to talk about serving faith, when that faith becomes action. So let's look at it. Simple faith, what is that? How many of you understand that the world could argue that mankind has simple faith? And I would say, for once, the world is right on that. Mankind does have simple faith. It's that simple faith of knowing and depending on things that they've always depended on. Let me say this about simple faith. Simple faith does not save people. Everybody understand? Simple faith does not save people. A trust that there is a God based on the evidence around us doesn't save a person. Everybody go like this. Because I get this a lot when I talk to people about, oh, I believe in God. And here's what the Bible says about, so do the demons of hell, and they tremble. So it's bigger. Simple faith is not a faith that saves you. It is that faith that simply acknowledges that there is something or someone out there who is bigger, who created all of this. I've shared this story lots of times. I remember my first revelation of God, where God revealed Himself to me. Let me say this. Just because God revealed Himself to me did not mean that I was saved. He used the simple faith that I was born with to start a process in me of revealing Himself to me, because He had an ultimate plan for my life. And I see that the more I walk through this world and the more I look back, I can see where He walked me through this life. That simple faith was this. We were at a family reunion in Buffalo, Texas. I was riding in the back of a pickup truck when kids used to ride in the back of pickup trucks. Sorry guys, you get ripped off. Because maybe God's going to begin to reveal Himself to you in the back of a pickup truck. And I remember this like it was yesterday. I was a kid, and we were not a church-going family. We knew all the right answers. We went on Easter. If I went to my grandma, she took us because we were supposed to go on Easter. We went to Vacation Bible School because my grandma made sure we did. She knew Christ. But we're at a family reunion. We're driving down the road. If you've heard this story, you just sit here and be bored for a second. If you haven't, listen to me. This is real. This happens in our life. I'm driving down the road in the back of that pickup truck. I'm laying down. How many remember this sensation? You're in the back of a pickup truck and you would lay down when you're going down small two-lane highways and there are trees on both sides of the road and you just see the trees and you see the clouds and everything's flashing by. I mean, I'm pretty sure that that sensation right there led to the 60s and all the things that went on there. But how can we see this all the time? I don't know. Here, try this. So the thing is, I'm laying in the back of the truck and me and my cousins We're driving down the highway, and one of our older cousins, I believe, if I remember correctly, he's driving us because he could drive, and he was really cool, and he had a truck, so we jumped in the back because that was really cool, in the back of your cousin's truck driving down the highway. That's how kids get killed. So we're driving the highway. Of course, we're going from fishing spot to fishing spot. We're going to a new place to fish. And I remember this. I'm looking at the trees. I'm looking at the clouds. I'm looking at the beauty of it all, and something inside of me says there is really a God. You say, does that really happen to a little kid? Maybe it's happened to some of you. How many say you had a moment like that in your life where you said, man, look at the tree. Something made this. Or you're in anatomy class and you're looking at a human body and you see all the organs and how they work perfectly. And you say, something bigger than man created all this complex thing that we know as a human being. And so as I was there, I had that moment of simple faith. And what this simple faith does, let me say this, don't throw it out the window. It's not a bad thing. It's a bad thing if you're holding on that as a hope of salvation. But it's a very good thing because what it does, it aids in activating our thoughts pertaining to God. It aids in activating our thoughts. How many of you know God gave you a brain? And how many of you know that this brain is very complex? In fact, it's so complex that man cannot really figure it out. We don't really know how or why it does the things that it does, but it's a very powerful thing that God has given us. And so the thing is God plants that seed of simple faith in us to trust that. There must be something bigger out there. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people stop there because they become agnostic and say, well, maybe there is something or maybe there's not something. Maybe there is a higher power. They become something else and they believe in a God who is bigger than we as humans and he's a greater being. They'll go there and simple faith will get you there, but simple faith won't get you saved. It's general belief, simple faith, that, yeah, I'm pretty sure that by the things around me, there's something bigger. The problem with simple faith is it has a lot to do with sight. That's why it won't save you. You noticed God. And this is the kind of faith that when in Romans, Paul's going to talk about the people who are going to be without excuse because they could see God all around them. Because we can. How many of you have ever sat at a seashore, watched the waves crashing in, watched the tide coming in and out? Watch all the sea life when that happened. Now, this is no accident. Something happens inside. How many of you have ever been in the Rocky Mountains and you saw a sunrise over the mountain? Or saw a sunset over the same mountain? And you say to yourself, man, this is a big deal. This is bigger than me. And you know something is real to this, but you don't quite know, but you believe, as I did when I was a little kid, there must be a God because something put all this in order. So this faith won't save you, but it may be used to prepare you for a future revelation that you might receive about Jesus Christ in your life. It may be used to prepare you that, yes, there is a God, just as you've noticed, and you can have a personal relationship with this God. Because let me tell you something, when Jesus Christ, through His Holy Spirit, ushered me into a personal relationship with God, then here's what happened. My simple faith that there was a God who created all this beauty around me, because I'm an outdoors guy who loves the beauty of the outdoors, and I just processed it like this. You mean this God who you showed yourself to me when I was a little kid in the back of a pickup truck and how glorious you are? You mean you really want to have a personal relationship with me? That simple faith can be used later on down the road. So don't throw simple faith out. Maybe you're here and that's all you have. You're holding on to that. Again, that kind of faith will not save a person. That faith may be used to get you to the point of receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But that faith won't save you. So we go to the next type of faith that we see. Faith, that simple faith, we said it's faith from first to last. So your first revelation that God is real, was that by faith? Wasn't it? God didn't come down and say, hey, Kurt, I created all these trees and these pretty clouds and this sky and that lake you just fished in and that pretty bass that you caught. You can say that. Something inside of me, that simple faith, said this is bigger than little old Kurt. So we see the beginning was that simple faith. It's the beginning in your life too. Some of you, you've been coming for weeks and God has begun simple faith in you. You look around and you say this, there must be something to this Jesus thing because these people sure are excited about what they're singing about. There must be something to this Jesus thing because I just saw a grown man cry, slinging snot, turning from his old life, and I've seen the last few weeks, even his very face has changed. So simple faith has begun because we said this process is faith from the beginning to the end. You see, step two in faith is this saving faith. We've seen simple faith. Let's look at saving faith. This is the faith to trust in Christ. I pray this. I pray that God would move you because I promise you He's given simple faith so that He can then in return come back to you and expand that into saving faith. And I pray that today, if you've never received saving faith, the faith to believe that Jesus Christ is truly your Savior, the faith to believe that it is worth everything to turn from your sin and turn to Him, I pray today that God would do a work of faith in your life through the Holy Spirit before we leave here today. So we see saving faith. This is, of course, as it's titled, a faith that will save you. It's a gift entrusted to you by God's grace. We've already talked about Ephesians 2, 8, 9. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. We talked about grace last week, the free gift that God gives us of salvation and forgiveness. But unless God gives you saving faith, you can't be a recipient of grace. Now, I know that messes some of you up because you've been taught bad theology your whole life. You have been taught that if you just confess That's why I say every week to people, look, just saying this prayer, what do I say every week? Will not save you. I believe that 150%. Just confessing Jesus with your mouth because you have basic, simple faith will not save you. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. Watch what the verse continues to say. It is a gift from God. It, what? Grace or faith? Man, they argue about this and it's stupid. Both of them. The whole process is a gift from God. You can't believe here today. Why would you believe? I mean, stop for a second, those of you who've been born again, and go back to your human mind. Why in the world would you believe that some guy who died on a cross in Israel outside of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago did anything for you here in the United States in 2016? You humanly would not believe that. That's why the world looks at us and they scratch their head. That's stupid ancient religion. Here's the thing. What they don't realize is Jesus Christ is not religion. It's about a relationship with the God of the universe that comes by faith. So don't get mad at them because they don't believe. Pray for them. They don't believe. You know why? They don't have the capacity to believe. Neither did you before God gave you the faith to believe. And so there's that saving faith, the gift that God has entrusted to you. I don't know why. I don't know why that God loved me enough to take me from simple faith to saving faith, but He sure did it. He sure did it. I remember I was sitting in that church service and that preacher was preaching right at me. Y'all been there, haven't you? When he pointed, it didn't matter if he was pointing this side of the room. His finger hooked and got me way over there. Because he was talking to me. Because I was a sinner and I was undone and I was without hope and I was without God. Oh, I had simple faith. You know how I knew I had simple faith? I was at church. I was at church because I at least knew there was a God. Hey, check this out. I had already started tithing. Because that's what church people told me to do. I was being obedient in attendance. I came to youth group. I came to Bible studies. Wrong motives. I just wanted to learn so I could beat the other kids in Bible trivia. Truth is the truth. But that one day, for whatever reason, God gave me a different kind of faith that day. A faith that I had 100% assurance that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, died in my place on a cross. He personally sacrificed Himself for me. That's saving faith. And here's the thing. He didn't stop at revealing that to me. He kept on and gave me the power and strength to intellectually and spiritually receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. He did the whole thing because it's faith for what? From the first to the last. So we see that in a pickup truck, He gave me that simple faith, but later on in a church service, and that preacher was pointing right at me. That hit you. It hit you. Sorry. But He was pointing right at me. And it's in that, the preaching of the gospel, where God then gave me saving faith. A blind trust in a Savior who I couldn't see. A blind trust in a Savior I couldn't see. Check this out, guys. We look at Peter and we look at all the disciples that Jesus called while He was on the earth. They could see Him. He was tangible. He was the Son of God in flesh there before them. So what we naturally think is this. Wasn't it easier for them to believe? Let me say this. Jesus even said it was. Jesus even said it was. Because it's easy to believe when we see it, when we touch it, when we feel it, when we actually hear. But that's not what God called us to do. That's why Jesus left them, so that they could learn what it meant to walk in faith. And here's the thing. Jesus Himself, if you have your Bible, you can turn over there. I'm not just making this up. John chapter 20. Flip over there. We'll read a little. Y'all read some Bible today in church? John chapter 20. Verse 24. We know old doubting Thomas. Verse 24 says, now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. We've seen the Lord. Now, Thomas knew this. He saw the Lord too. And they crucified Him and put Him in a grave. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. Here's the problem. The problem is this. Thomas, all this time, was putting his faith in what he saw Jesus do. When the disciples came and said, he's alive, we've seen him. He says, well, if I'm going to believe it, I got to touch it. I got to see it. I got to hear his voice. I got to see it for myself face to face. Watch what 26 says. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hand? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Please understand this. This was a rebuke. It wasn't like Jesus was being cute. Stop doubting and believe. It was stop doubting and believe. You've already seen so much, Thomas. How could you not believe? Watch what he said. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Because you've seen me, you believe. That's how he said it. Watch what he says then. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. He said, Thomas, there are people who are going to be coming behind you guys. Where are those people? Let me ask you this question. Any of you ever seen Jesus? Any of you ever had Jesus feed you a fish breakfast on the shore of Galilee? Any of you ever walked beside Jesus as he taught? Any ever stood there at the Sermon on the Mount? Any of you there at his baptism where you saw John the Baptist literally baptize the Lord right there in front of everybody? Any of you see when they put the nails in his hands and his feet, they put him on a cross, they ripped the flesh from his body? Any of you folks see that with your eyes? Jesus said, blessed are you because you believe and you haven't seen any of that. That's faith. Why did you start believing that? Because you woke up one day and said, hey, I want to believe in things I can't see. No, you don't have the capacity to believe in things you can't see, just like Thomas did. You believe in Jesus Christ and Him crucified because God revealed Himself by faith to you, giving you the strength intellectually and spiritually to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, even though you've never heard his voice. Nobody here has heard the audible voice of Jesus Christ as those men did. You hear his voice through his spirit as his spirit communicates with your inner man. We know that, don't we? But here's the thing. We, by faith, that saving faith, trust that he is who he said he is and that he will always be who he says that he will always be. That trust is given. That is true saving faith. Here's the thing, true saving faith. I'll go on and give you another lesson real quick. We'll get back to where we're going. Man, y'all are really listening slow. True faith will always persevere. If you truly believe in Jesus Christ by faith, you will always truly believe in Jesus Christ by faith. Let me help you out. If you ever turn from that, you never really believed in Jesus Christ by faith. You had simple faith to believe in Jesus Christ, but simple faith won't save you. We know those people. They made that claim. That's why I said, your confession, I'll never tell you that your confession will ever count for anything. Because Jesus himself said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, to me shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Stop basing Christianity on a confession. Christianity is faith from the beginning to the end, just like we just saw Paul write in Romans. Simple faith, saving faith. I'll hurry with the next two. What time do the Texans play? Huh? 7:30 tonight? I promise you this week I'll have you out before the Texans play. Sanctifying faith. We've seen simple faith, saving faith, sanctifying faith. The faith that sets you apart. How many of you know this? You have received saving faith so that you can then walk in sanctifying faith that sets you apart from the rest of the world. How many of you understand? I don't even know why I asked this question. Let me just word it like this. Many of us do not understand that we have been saved so that we can be sanctified. And that word sanctified means set apart. We need to be set apart from the world. And the setting apart comes by faith. Faith in Christ should separate us from everyone else. You don't believe me? Turn to Acts chapter 26. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Verse 12, chapter 26. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus. This is Paul. He's giving his testimony before Agrippa. He says, on one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest. About noon, O king, I was on the road. I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companion. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Verse 15, then I asked, who are you, Lord? Rhetorical question. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. Verse 17, he goes on and he says, I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. He's saying this, I'm sending you with a message of hope so that others will be set apart by, what was that word that started with an F? Faith. So here's the thing. A lot of people, you know what, and you know this, every time you have church testimony time, you know what I'm talking about. The 83-year-old lady, her testimony is, Jesus Christ saved me from my sin. That's great. But I would say this to every believer in this room. What is he doing by faith right now in your life that is causing you to be set apart from the world and the things of this world? Wouldn't that be a greater testimony? Yeah, God revealed himself to me and he saved me by saving faith. And then because of his saving faith, he continues, because we said when we looked at Romans, it was faith from beginning to what? End. And so in the middle of this process, couldn't we agree that the middle of the process is the setting apart process? In the middle of this process, just as we sang a moment ago, I am still walking by faith in the things that I can't see, touch, taste, or feel. I'm just trusting in the promises of God. We see sanctifying faith. Faith in Christ should set us apart from everyone and everything else. That means this, at your workplace, you claim to have faith in Christ, you ought to have a different vocabulary. The things that you put into your body ought to be different than the things that the world puts into their body. The things that bring you satisfaction in this life ought to be things that are different from the things that bring the world satisfaction in this life. I know what you're saying. You're already trying to justify your things. That's fine. You just don't have faith to trust God with them. End of story. I see it all the time. You know, I see it in the area of giving. I'm not going to harp on money because people get all offended. I can't afford to give to the Lord right now in my life. Man, I'm glad he didn't take that attitude. I'm glad that Jesus didn't take that attitude, because you know what? When he was here on this earth, he had no money. He had no home. He had nothing to give. But he gave everything he had. For you and for me. Well, I just can't afford it. I had this discussion just recently. I said, no, you can't afford not to be obedient in the area of giving. I'm not even going to discuss this with you. If God requires something of you, maybe you can't trust him yet, but I promise you, sanctifying faith, if you'll take the word of God, take the promises of God and apply those promises, that sanctifying faith will allow you to give where God says give. Sanctifying faith. It's that faith that sets us apart. And it will continue to change us and will cause us to conform to the image of Jesus Christ more and more and more as we walk with him in this life. How many of you have walked with him long enough to know never, ever, ever have I grown by the things that I saw and then believed, but lots of times I have grown by the things that I couldn't see that I kept trusting. Because when we walk through the storms, this dark cloud's all around us, isn't it? But how many of you know this, that if we trust Jesus Christ, He is always going to deliver us from every situation that we face to bring Himself glory when we trust Him by faith? How many of you have ever walked through what you would label the darkest time of your life? Has anybody walked through the darkest time of their life so far, right? Everybody's scared. What if I say this and it gets worse? He's still faithful. I mean, we'd say, I've been to that point where I said, this is the worst time, man. It's the worst time, the worst error of my life. I'm never going to make it through. And in that moment, God gives you faith to trust and believe that He is faithful to what He says in His Word. And you trust that. And before you know it, that thing is in your rearview mirror and your eyes are focused on the glory of God who brought you through it by His faithfulness. That's sanctifying faith. That's why the world looks at you. Because next time when you face a difficult situation, you face a difficult situation with a smile on your face. Not looking at the things around you, you're looking at the God who's going to bring you through those things. And the world says, man, you're just too happy about this bad situation you're in. You can testify this. This situation is nothing in comparison to my God. Let me tell you a little bit about my God. He can do immeasurably more than I could ever ask or imagine. That means this, whatever you could conjure up in your human mind that could possibly happen, God is bigger than that. When we trust Him like that by faith, doesn't He set us apart from the world? You don't believe me? You don't think He sets us apart? How come every time when somebody that you know who's not a Christian goes through a hard time, you're the first person they come to? Let me tell you what, I do. I sometimes get into a mode where I'm just not happy because people only come to me. You know what? They come to me when something's wrong. Hey, Kurt, fix this for me. What do I do about this? Hey, Kurt, let's go get a bite to eat. How about, I like this one. Hey, Kirk, I just got on this new lease down in South Texas where we can bring guests and they can kill anything they want. No, that's not what Kirk gets. And let me tell you, I struggle with it because I'm like, man, why do you only come to me when your world is falling apart? You know what God has been showing me? Because they see God's faithfulness in my life. They come to the place that they should come to, right? Hey, look, Kirk, I've seen you go through some things. Let me tell you what, I've gone through my share of things. Most of them I asked for. God always brings you through those things because you always look to Him. What do I need to do in this situation? It's pretty ridiculous that I have to tell them this, but some of you know this is what I tell you. Keep your eyes focused on Him. Keep your faith in Him. He is doing this thing by faith from the beginning to the end. Keep trusting Him, and as you trust Him, He's going to bring you through whatever it is that you're facing. Now, here's the thing. I know I don't look real smart by saying things like that because that's pretty simple, but I promise you, that simple truth, if you forget that, you're in trouble. If you remember it, you are going to be set apart like the Word of God requires and asks that you be set apart. Sanctifying faith. A trust in Jesus to finish the work that He started in you. How about this? Just applying this one simple promise. God, I know You're not through with me yet. You're not abandoned me because You said You'd never leave me nor forsake me. That's faith, right? You never will leave me. You'll never forsake me. You said this, that the good work that You started in me, You'll carry to completion. Those are people who persevere. Those are true believers who when things get rough in their life, they don't say, well, I tried Jesus, but He just didn't work. How many times have you heard that? I tried Jesus. I tell them, you ain't ever tried Jesus if He didn't work. Because the Jesus I know works. And watch this. He works all things to the good to those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. By faith, I trust in that. And by faith, that sets me apart from the world. When I go through that thing, it's a bad thing. And I tell people, it's a bad thing, but I got a good, good going to bring me through it. And at the end, it's going to work for my good. Why? Because my whole purpose in life is to bring glory to Him. Why is it going to work for my good? Because He's going to get glory in the end. I may be like Jacob who became Israel. I may walk with a limp at the end of the deal. But my Father's going to be praised. Therefore, it is a good thing. Sanctifying faith. And then he moves us to the last one, serving faith. Faith in action. How many of you know you're being set apart so that you can be used? You're being set apart so that you can be valid. You're being set apart so that God can flex His muscles through you. Serving faith. This is the faith to get out of your comfort zone and do for others. How many of you know we just read a verse that said, faith from the start to the finish? How many of you know the finish is going to be awesome because faith will be made sight. We'll be in His presence. We will bow at His feet, literally. Right now, we're in a process. That process has moved many of us from simple faith to saving faith to sanctifying faith, but we throw the brakes on real fast at serving faith. Serving faith is where we say, you know what? This life is not mine. For I died with Christ. I was raised to new life. And this new life that I now live, I live for the glory of the Lord in serving others to bring Him praise. James, we know what James says. He says this, faith without what? Works is what? Dead. James goes on, I'll paraphrase it for you for the sake of time. He goes on and says, well, there's a man who claims he has faith, but he doesn't have works to back up his faith. His faith is worthless. He says, so what I will do is this. I will show you my faith by what I do. I sometimes think in the modern world of Christianity that they interpret that. I'll show you my faith by what I say. You ever met that brother or sister in Christ? They know all the right answers. But don't do a cotton-picking thing to bring any glory to God other than act like they have all the answers. They're the person who has all the answers until you're hip deep in mud serving someone. And we're like, where are they? Oh, they're over there talking to people about faith. Do you understand that's what James was talking about? He was talking about these preachers who were too good to serve because they got fancy suits and they got nice pulpits. They pastor mega churches. Well, they're too good to get into messy things. Did you know this? You know this. Watch this, folks. Hey, marriage counseling, very messy. Some of you who've come to counseling with me, you've left mad. Some of you who came to counseling with me, left mad at me. Some of you who've come to counseling with me, you've left early. Because I told you to. It's messy. Isn't it? You know, there's some preachers, and you know what their goal in ministry is? All I want to do is just preach. I want to hire a big enough staff where they can do all the messy stuff. They can do my funerals, because they're messy, aren't they? Huh, isn't it messy when somebody has a stillborn child and they come to you, preacher, and they say, why? I'm passing that to some other staff person because I am beyond that. I want to be a talker of my faith. Here's the deal. Service gets messy. That's why it takes faith to serve, doesn't it? Well, yeah, I want to take off work to go on this mission trip, but if I take off work, I know God's leading me to, but if I take off work, I won't get paid that week. But I promise you this. Oh, but you will. Oh, but you will. You'll get paid a paycheck you won't know anything about until it becomes sight one day while you're in the presence of God and you're rewarded because you sacrificed yourself. You sacrificed your time. You sacrificed your energy for somebody else. I promise you, God will bless those who trust Him by faith and they serve Him. So we move to serving faith, where it becomes more than just sitting in a pew, sitting in a nice air-conditioned building. Let's be quite honest with you. I'm so concerned about our church right now. That you're going to get comfortable. I pray every day, Lord, don't let them get comfortable. Don't let them get comfortable. Because y'all know we went through a season of total discomfort, didn't we? We sweat every week, crunched together with all sorts of people, and how cool it was, right? Now we can stretch out a little bit. But don't become comfortable. Pray this, God, let us work the fields in such a way, let us serve others in such a way that you make us uncomfortable here again. That we would be neck deep in serving you, and service is always ugly. It's never pretty. It's always ugly. You know why? Because every time you serve God by faith, the enemy attacks you with fury. Doesn't he? You say, well, he doesn't in my life. I'll just go on and tell you, you're not serving him. You're not serving him. Every time you help somebody with the right heart, something's going to happen. You're going to wonder, man, should I keep even helping people? Right? How many of you ever went over to somebody's house to help them do tractor work? That's when your tractor breaks down. Right? And your friend's not going to say, oh, man, here, let me pay for that. That'd be easy. You're going to have to keep trusting, Lord, even if my tractor breaks down every time I use it for somebody else. You blessed me with this tractor. You didn't bless me with this tractor or anything that I have so that I can be selfish with it. I helped someone who was in need. Therefore, I know even though the enemy has attacked me and wants me to be discouraged and helping and serving others, God, I'm going to keep on keeping on, and you're going to keep on blessing because that's what you do. Serving faith. Service is proof that Christ's work is really being done in you. What comes out of your life is who you really are. If all that comes out of your life is all the Christian knees and the cool Christian cliches that you've learned, that's all you are. And that's not true faith at all. That's dead faith. Service, you know, like that? Service will not usually have a seen reward. You probably won't be rewarded in this lifetime for your service to God. Can I say this? Be thankful of that. Be thankful of that. All these preachers who are getting rich off of serving the Lord, I got news for them. Every single last bit of that is going to be dissolved. But those men of God who say, you know what, I'm going to serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength, if I don't get paid a dime for it, I know that I'm storing up riches in heaven. One day, they are going to get to heaven, and they are going to be utterly amazed at what a God who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine is going to lavish upon them for all eternity. So I'll say it like this. You can keep your $3,000 suit on this earth. I'll wear mine in glory. I'll have a white robe that's worth way more than that. Thank you, Jesus. What time did the Texans play? I'm only playing. Everybody gets nervous. Ed says, come on with it. And everybody else, shut up, Ed. Romans tells us and has told us. I'll read it again. Verse 17 of chapter 1. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from the first to the last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Faith, though it is a gift from God, it's also a requirement and a mandate from God. I don't know where you stand with Him today, but let me tell you this. If you don't stand in true saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if something were to happen to you before that occurred in your life, I promise you this, the Word of God is true. You will be judged for your sin, and you will be separated from God for all eternity in a place called hell. Say, oh no, one of them hellfire brimstone preachers. I try to model my preaching after Jesus. He was pretty good at it. But I say this to you today. If God births saving faith in your heart today, that for the first time you know, even though you haven't seen Jesus, even though you've never touched the nails in His hand like Thomas said he wanted to do, that today God would allow you to be a part of that group, though they haven't seen, they still believe. Because I promise you this, I've never seen Jesus with my eyes. But you can't talk me out of him because he's done so much in my life by faith. Would you stand to your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed? You're here today and you say, Kurt, my relationship to God, I have realized today because His Spirit has shown me, has been nothing but simple faith up until this point. Faith in knowing that He exists. And God has confirmed in my heart that that's not enough. And He's leading me today to place my faith and my trust that He's given me. And the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior and Lord. I need Jesus to wash me of my sin and to forgive me. Give me new life as only He can give. I know God's telling me that in my heart today, that that's what I need to do. That needs to be my response this morning, to surrender and to repent and to turn to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You say, Kurt, that's me. That's me. I'm that person. Ma'am, sir, whoever you are, listen, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. If you hear His voice today, don't harden your heart against Him. Nobody here is guaranteed tomorrow. You say, Kirk, I need Jesus to save me today. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to talk to you and you alone. You say, I need Jesus to save me, and I want to trust Him by the faith He's given me right now to believe that He is truly the Son of God who died for my sin on the cross outside of Jerusalem. I believe that He rose again to give me the new life that He's desiring to give me today. You say, that's me. Would you slip up your hand right now? I want to pray with you and pray for you. You know who you are. I'm asking you that to reveal that to me. God knows who you are. I just want to pray with you and pray for you. You say, that's me. God's doing a work in my life right now. I'm surrendering my life to Jesus Christ. Let you slip up your hand so I can pray with you and pray for you. Anyone like that here today, raise it up high where I can see you. Anyone here who says, that's me. Listen, just because you don't respond right now, these altars will be open. These people will be here to pray with you. God puts it on your heart. You receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Don't hesitate with that today. But if you're here and you say this, you say, Kurt, I know I'm a believer. I've drifted away from true faith. That sanctifying faith that sets me apart. I trust in only the things that I see. Oh, I remember a time where I trusted everything that God's Word said and every promise that He had ever given. Kirk, I pray that God would restore that in me today. Let me say this to you. That lives inside of me. You got to let the worries of this world and the fears of this world, you got to let those things go, because those things keep you from seeing the faith that God has given you to believe. Maybe you need to come today. Confess to God, forgive me because I doubt. Forgive me because I question. Forgive me because I'm always afraid. Forgive me because I don't step out when Your Spirit leads me to step out. I don't speak to my friends who need to hear the truth when I know that Your Word says if I'll just trust You by faith, You'll give me every answer that I need to give them. Maybe you're here. You say, Kirk, I've experienced that simple faith, even the saving faith, and even the sanctifying faith. God's leading me to serve. And I keep saying no because I'm so afraid. Maybe today you would get on your face before God and you would cry out to Him, God, give me the strength through Your Spirit. Give me the strength through Your Spirit to do what You've called me to do, to serve You and to serve others, that You would receive glory, honor, and praise. Whatever the Holy Spirit is leading you to do in your life today, I pray that you would respond with obedience. We sing this song. That you would come to this altar and you would pour your heart out to God. That if you're here and you're not a believer, today you would surrender your life to Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late. Allow the Holy Spirit to have His way with you this very moment.